Aaron Rose.
Here.
Hey, this is Adam Page.
Adam, who else is on? I think I heard Ron.
Gary.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Gary.
Paul Martin.
No, Paul.
Aaron.
Welcome, Aaron. Yeah, good stuff, everybody. A couple things here real quick. I know more people chime in. I'll send out emails about this as well. But all of these office hours are recorded, so I hope you found them. I sent out an email last week, I think it was, but they're uploaded in the coaching center. On the left side of the page, it says office hours, and you can listen to the recordings there. If you missed one or
Tom here.
Want to go back. Hey, Tom. The second thing is updates are about to get a lot easier. So we're having the tech team build a form, and we'll put it in. It's going to go into the coaching center. It's going to it'll be on the left side of the page. It's going to say weekly update, and you'll click on it. It'll open up a form, and you can just fill it in real quick. Number of leads, number skip trace, calls, that kind of thing. So it'll be very quick to fill out. We'll have you fill them out on Fridays. And it's really going to do two things. Number one is it'll help us to track where you're at, progress, that kind of thing, right? So we can, give proper guidance, that kind of thing. The second one is these are the KPIs, the key performance indicators that you want to track for the rest of your investing career. So it'll accomplish those two things. It'll help us, help you, and it'll also help you build the habit of, you know, what are the important things to track in your business. So I'm hoping that's in place by tomorrow. There's a chance it goes till early next week. But anyway, two quick things to cover. And who's going to kick us off today? Let's just go wide open. Who's got an update or a question? I know somebody does.
Well, this is Aaron Rose. I have a question.
Aaron. Yeah, fire.
So I just sent off my Craigslist ad in my area that I picked and got a ton of response back for folks that want a bird dog. And so I know there's, you know, a couple of folks are asking, you know, how do you define, let me pull up the message, you know, how do you define the confirmed, what did I call it?
Confirmed
the
vacant?
Type of lead. Confirmed, yeah, how do they confirm vacant? What are we asking them to supply to us?
So the house is probably going to look vacant. I mean, that's, you know, they're driving around, that's what they're looking for. But you want to make sure it's not listed, it doesn't have a for sale by owner sign in the front yard. That kind of thing. If it's boarded up, pretty good chance it is vacant. It would take a little bit of research to confirm it, I suppose. But, you know, you're really looking for the visual signs.
Okay.
You know, obviously
so
boarded up windows is the easiest one.
To confirm.
Well, yeah,
other
so when you go
walk
through,
to the window
you
want
to, yeah, don't tell your bird dogs to trespass. They need to stay on the sidewalk. So... yeah,
okay.
best to not send them up to the property. You know, if two or three or all four, or, you know, you can't see the back of the house, but if all the visible windows are boarded up, it's a boarded up house. If they're, you know, 18-inch weeds in the front yard and the windows are boarded, pretty good chance. Sometimes just,
okay.
You know, just the front yard alone can tip
you
off.
Piled up mail
to
a
house
on
being
the
vacant.
But if the yard hasn't been mowed and there's a... if there's a flag that's still there and flower pots that are there, it's still living. I have one like that.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. The bird dog's sending in heavily manicured front yard looking for a payday.
Yeah, I guess.
Not so much. Yeah, you know, Aaron, most of it is going to be visible. I mean, those are the signs. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, confirmed. You know, if you found out a leak, here's the thing. You're not going to search them all. You know, we've had this conversation. Are you going to get some duplicates? Yes. Are you going to get some ones that aren't vacant? Yes. It's just like any source of leads. It's not going to be perfect. But as long as your bird dogs are doing a good job, the majority will be vacant. That's what you're looking for.
Okay, cool.
So, yep.
Yeah,
good
Fiverr,
how many...
by the way, Fiverr was awesome for plotting out the, you know, the top 100 cheapest houses. That looked like, took like 2 hours, I think, and it was done. So that was good.
Yeah.
Good suggestion.
So you just mentioned Fiverr.com, F-I-V-E-R-R, like the word five with two R's.
Right.
That's another little place to get a quick task done. And I think it started with $5 tasks. You can have somebody build, you know, do more than that for more money. But
yeah, it was $5.
Yep, perfect. So Upwork is great. Fiverr's another resource. Rob typically goes to Upwork for VAs, but if he just wants, you know, something like that small done and you don't have a VA on the team, that's a good place to go. So Fiverr.com. Yeah, Aaron, good update.
This is Brian. I always say when you're on the phone talking to the people, you can kind of get information too. You know, hey, by any chance, is the house vacant or what's the story with the house? That helps me find out which bird dogs are good and which are bad.
Right.
Yeah, even the ones that tell you to pound sand, you know, I always get another question. Hey, just by the way, for my records.
Right. Right, to be checking up on the bird dogs. I like it. So, Aaron, one more question. You posted that ad. How many replies did you get?
Oh, I don't even know yet. Because the problem is I've been on a camping trip with the family, and we're way out where we got no cell phone reception, so I got to drive into town. But I'm looking at, let's see.
You drove into town to jump on office hours?
5, 6, 7, 8,
committed.
9, 10.
I love it.
10 text messages, 11, and I don't even know on email right now.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's
love
it's been
it.
Good.
Yeah, two or three, and you'll have more leads than you won't have more than you know what to do with. You'll know exactly what to do with them, but that can take off quick. So, nice job. Way to check in on the camping trip too. Next time somebody tells me they can't make it, I'm just gonna break out this story. So I appreciate the material. That helps.
The it's convincing the wife that I've got to go is the biggest challenge. So.
Nice.
And Mike, Paul here, I got a question.
Yeah.
So I've had trouble with bird dogs. So far I've worked with two or three that send me a good chunk of leads. And then I pay them and everything seems happy. And then they stop responding, disappear.
Yep.
I've got to start over again and get a new person on board. I'm trying to fill my 250. I've got 90. I know how to... had a person that had another 50 to give me, and then she just didn't, and who knows what happened to her.
Put time, energy, and effort into figuring out or trying to understand why people do what they do.
Is it normal for this to happen?
At least one or two. Just go MIA.
Yep.
That sounds like trying to flip a house working with subcontractors.
They'll
show up until Friday, and then Friday is payday, and then they get paid, and then disappear. They can't see past Friday a lot of times, so that could be it. Hard to say. Yep.
Okay, and I've got two more people out there going at it again today. So
perfect. You know that's why you hire four, because you're gonna have one or two that'll probably stick. So
and you hire four and you give them each a different map. And then
ideally, you don't want duplicates. And then if you have a couple that just don't show up and you have two that are working, then give the two, obviously the other parts of the city.
You
want to send them to different locations, or you're gonna pay twice for leads. So, stick with it. You'll find somebody out there. So, who else? Questions and updates.
Are we talking about bird dogs or virtual assistants?
Talking about what?
Bird dogs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
bird
okay.
dogs.
Okay.
Yep.
You got it. And I just shot a video, you guys, everybody on here, and I'll put it up tomorrow. Into the coaching center on how Rob has his FreedomSoft set up. So a couple of you, based on conversation, are trying to do, your bird dogs are sending leads maybe into FreedomSoft, or maybe they're coming into a spreadsheet, and then you've got to upload them and this, that, and the other. And so I'm going to show you how Rob has FreedomSoft set up, how he ties in the VA, how he ties in workflow automation, and how easy it makes it. So there was that came up twice lately, and so I just put a video together on it. So I'll send out an email when you can go watch it.
Hey, Mike, this is Darren.
Yeah, Darren.
Hey, I have a similar question. I'm hoping that the video will answer it. So I kind of was looking to hire my VA to start skip tracing, and the video that's the Jing video that's attached in the step number three shows all these fields being filled out, like mailing address, and there's a lot of fields that were available to Rob in his Jing video that are not showing up in my screen.
Yeah, those are Rob's custom fields. Yep.
Got it. So we have to create all those ourselves.
Here's what I was just telling him. Here's what I was just telling him is I think I want to log into his account and just screenshot his page.
Yeah.
And that way, if you want to build, because it wouldn't take you more than 10 to 20 minutes. I mean, you really just go into the click add, you know, add custom field, type it in, that kind
of
thing.
Got it.
It might take a little longer if you weren't familiar, but I was just right before I jumped on the phone here, I was talking to him and said, I think that'd be handy so you guys can see what his screen looks like. And I actually, I can even have him shoot a little, this would be even better, I could have him shoot a little video with his thought process on why his screen looks like that, and then we could screenshot it, PDF it, and you could just download it and mirror it. So,
what are you talking about, Jing video?
Oh, that's just a little video recorder.
The reason why I mentioned it is because in step number three at the very bottom in the coaching center, there's three links to videos that are created by Jing. And because the steps for me to have my VA find owners in the county website is slightly different than what he, for everybody. I was going to create my own Jing video, but then when I started to look for the fields that he was teaching them how to populate, this is it.
Yeah, so you were seeing his screen there with his custom field. So, yep. Yeah, Darren, I will I'll have him do that. I mean, I can go in and screenshot it, so at least that, but I'd like to have him shoot a video so that you can see his thought process on why he laid it out that way. So.
I think in the video there's spots where you could stop it and actually see the fields that he has. So it's possible to do it. It's just a little...
Yeah, it'd be easier if I blew up screenshots on a PDF file for you. So, Darren, what's your update? Where are you at?
I got about... Let me look at Freedom Soft because I think I got about another... let's see how many leads do I have.
While you're looking, we have a bunch of people that just came on, so
42.
I gave a couple. 42?
Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah, okay. I got 42 leads from basically one bird dog. The other five are not doing anything, so I got to hire more people, but I've got about 18 or 20 emails from people that said they're interested, so I just got to go to
perfect.
The next.
So, obviously 250 is the goal. You're on your way. Get those off to SkipTracer as soon as possible.
Yeah, so I posted the ad last night.
Perfect.
To hire them, but then I kind of got stuck when I couldn't create the Jing video. So that's my update pretty much for the week.
Okay. Hey, two quick updates. We had and I should have waited a few minutes, but we've had a lot of people check in. The first one are these office hours are recorded. Log into the coaching center, click office hours on the left side of the page, and they're all recorded. Somebody has a phone ringing, maybe hit *6 for us so you can mute out. The second one is I'm having the tech crew build a form for weekly updates. I'm going to have we'll have everybody fill it out on Friday. You'll log into the coaching center. It's going to say weekly update on the left side of the screen. Click it. A form will open up, and it'll be, you know, how many vacants, how many phone calls, how many contracts have you written, and so we can get those weekly updates. So twofold. It'll help us to track where you're at and to give, you know, relevant input and coach you better. The second thing is the things that you're going to be writing down are the KPIs, the key performance indicators, that you want to track for as long as you're in the business. So it'll help build a habit. Bless you. So
I think it'll make the call go a little smoother too.
Yeah, because we instead of just some updates, we can get to the questions and that kind of thing. I agree. And it'll be, you'll fill it out in a couple minutes. Click submit and you'll be done. So it'll be very, very simple. And then that way we'll get, you know, we'll have the stats that we need to see where you're at. We can track progress, that kind of thing, tell you to pick it up a notch or not if you don't need to. So, yeah, who else?
Mike, I got another.
Somebody's blowing up.
That's my.
That's got to be Motivated Sellers, Mike. Tell them to answer it.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Put it on speaker. We want to hear it.
Yeah, that's right. We can help you through the call. It's funny.
I wish that was the case. It's Paul here. So I got a seems like a silly question, but you say go to the coaching center to see the recorded the coaching center of realamericanwealth.com.
That one.
So
yeah, you really have two logins. The coaching center is the realamericanwealth.com login that y'all have, and then FreedomSoft. Those are really the only two that I'll reference. They are not on the same website.
Yeah.
Steps are. The coaching center has steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, it's right in front of
that. We're all
working.
Yep.
I got it.
Mm-hmm. Paul, what's your update? Where are you at? How many vacant leads?
I've had the same 90 for like a week now because I'm having trouble with these bird dogs following up. So I got 90. And
do you have
I've
any
got,
skip trace yet?
I've got two VAs sort of hired. One person, I sent him a lead, a chunk of 28. Basically sent me not the right information I was looking for.
Okay.
I go back to him trying to clarify what it is I need done. I haven't heard back from him. Maybe it's a Pakistani time thing. And then I have another woman in India who's supposed to start for me on the 28th. She said she's just got a whole bunch of work lined up.
28th,
so
and it's the 20th. Yeah, we need somebody else on board prior.
So this other guy is supposed to be, you know, doing it. So I'm waiting to see what.
Hey, if somebody has a VA that's done a good job that is not booked full time, send their name to me into the coaching center. I'm going to forward it to Paul. You know, we don't want to slow anybody else down, but if you've got somebody that's working, we don't always have to reinvent the wheel here because they're, you know, if we have a group of us keeping, you know, I know we're not all going to use the same people, but that would help jumpstart. So if somebody wants to offer that up, I'll forward it to them. Paul, but get another ad on there for sure. Let's not wait
till
the 20th.
I think one other woman that's ready to go too. She seemed expensive at like $8 an hour or something. That seemed more than, you know, the three guys, $3 or $3.50. Some people charge, and Rob's guy seems to charge. So maybe I'm just stuck on worrying about paying and just have to pay people a little more than expected.
Yeah, I mean, if they're, you know, but I think ask what tools they have access to. If they're paying a subscription to a good service, for one, for that $8, they can put in a name and pull a bunch of information very quickly, and they're paying the membership to the site as well. So as you've heard last couple weeks here, either, you know, Rob has memberships to Intellius, Spokio, and PeopleSmart, I believe it was. He pays for them, and then just shoots a video for the VA, go here, do this, and he gives them his login and password. Or we also have students who are having success, you know, in Upwork saying, I need somebody who can do skip tracing. And when you reply, tell me what tools you have access to, what services.
So the
$8 an hour could be a good deal. See what they have access to.
Those three you just mentioned, Intellius, Spokio, PeopleSmart, those are the tools we want them to have?
Not necessarily. Those are the three that Rob uses. There's a LexisNexis one, I think. Somehow Gary knows them all. And Gary, I know you're on the phone.
Yeah, LexisNexis,
TLO.
TLO.
What are considered the top three? Lexis, TLO, and Intellius?
I would say so.
Okay.
TLO is in Thomas, Larry, Oscar.
Yep.
All right.
You got it. Yeah, so
all
if
right,
that
thank
$8
you.
Gets you a good service that they have access to, and if it gets you a lot of leads, you know, you can reply and say what skip tracing services are you using, and how many can you typically research in an hour? If those numbers are strong, let's go with it. And here's the thing. You don't have to go with them forever, but you can go with them for now. If you find somebody that's competent for less money in the future, give them the rest. But you can at least give them, a 30 of your 90 or whatever the case to get moving. What's really expensive is time. So
right.
That's more than an $8 an hour VA. So who else?
Hey, Mike.
Gary, you
want to Page?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mike.
Hey,
go ahead, Mike.
Oh, okay. So our
Yeah, our bird dog came back today with like another 130 leads. So
what are you at total now?
242.
I love it.
Yeah, and I got another lady that wants to do some bird dogging too, and she really wants to get into the real estate game more and all that. So she might even be a good resource for doing some other things down the road.
Exactly.
So that's what I was kind of thinking. So then I'm going to have her just do like 25 just to test it out and see how it works. She doesn't have an iPhone either. But so what I've been doing to kind of get around that issue where it just dumps the garbage in the Freedom Swap, I have them email them to my Gmail account. I set up a filter based on their email, and then I just basically look for the words, check out this snap, and then I have it forward to the lead campaign unique address, and that seems to work.
Everybody catch that? That's pretty clean if you've got somebody that's not on iPhone.
Say that again.
He's having Gmail search for keywords that HomeSnap sends, and if it finds those keywords, Mike, you set up an auto forward to your FreedomSoft account. Is that right?
Yep, it's considered a filter inside of Gmail, so it's based on the person's address, and I just look for the subject that comes from the HomeSnap app, and then the unique email that was generated by FreedomSoft. I have it forward to that one. So even though I have three different bird dogs, they each have into the right campaign.
There's always a tech guy in the crowd that just makes it seem easier.
Yeah, I'm just curious and maybe this doesn't matter at all, but from a technology standpoint, why does it work better if you forward it directly from Gmail versus having them email it directly in? Like, what is it doing to help you?
Because then you get the photo attached, right?
No, you don't get the photo attached still. It just doesn't put all that garbage in the info piece. So what I have them to do with the photo, it just comes in cleaner when it creates the lead. And then for the photo, I just have them do a screenshot of every one and then send it to me in email. That's kind of a pain for them, but I guess they don't seem to care. So
Mike, that could you they could use HomeSnap if they couldn't, like if a house didn't have an address on it, they could use HomeSnap to get the address. Could they not just send you an email with the address in the subject line and the photo attached, and then you could auto-forward that into FreedomSoft and the photo would be there?
Yes, they could do that too. And I might have them do that. This lady says she's getting an iPhone here soon, so I probably won't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of working on the best way to go about that, but that would work as well. I just don't know if FreedomSoft would be smart enough to pick up the attachment as the...
It will. It'll grab the pick, throw it in attachments. Every attachment that comes into a lead campaign, matter what the attachment is, gets peeled off and parked in the attachments. And then if it's a .jpeg, IMG, whatever the common photo extensions are, there will be a little button that says move to photos, and you just click it and it pushes it from attachments to photos on the left side of the page.
Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know if it was a special part of the API of HomeSnap that allowed that. So if that's the case, I can just have her just attach the photo directly to it,
send
it in the filter.
Try that out. Try that out for all of us. Let me know how it works. And if it does, I may just have you document those steps quick, and I can just upload it into the coaching center. Do you mind doing that?
Sure, yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Sweet.
Let us know how it goes.
So, and also I found out you can bargain with people because it seems like they're always strapped for cash. So she didn't want to wait for the PayPal transfer to take place. It takes 2 to 3 days to clear her bank.
Yeah.
So the 132 leads, I'm like, well, I'll send it Western Union if you can just take $300.
Nice.
And she's like, yeah, that's fine. So
the time value of money.
Yep, exactly. And the nice thing I like when it goes into my Gmail account that way first is that when I sort it, the subject lines all go in order of like the addresses, so I can quickly scan for duplicates. I can just look down the all 130 of them in like a minute and just see if any of them are duped.
That's pretty clean. And you can even, you can even designate a Gmail account just to this. I mean, set up a new one. They're free, call it HoustonBirdDogLeads@gmail.com or something. And then you've got your different bird dogs sending in, you're going to have different from addresses that it, mm-hmm. that's easy to sort out. And then if it's from their address, auto-forward it to their FreedomSoft campaign, right?
Yep, that's exactly what I do. And Gmail is smart enough that it'll group any of them. So if they send you one that's a duplicate, it'll auto-group them. So it'll just show it as one line, but it'll have like a little two in parentheses, so you know it's
Bam.
A duplicate, so
yep.
you can just see it really
exactly.
quickly.
When the same email comes over. Oh, that's mm-hmm. sweet. Cool.
Yep. So
cool.
That's where we're at. And I had another question.
Yeah,
so,
fire.
Oh, I was just going to say, so this is the point now, I guess, where we got to just start calling these people, but if we don't know what we're offering, what's the point on calling them? Or are we just seeing if they're open to doing a deal first off?
Yeah, this you do not have to go to offer on your first call. Eventually, you definitely will. But just call for motivation. And if motivated, ask some property questions. You know, hey, has the roof been updated or repaired or replaced in the last 15 years? How are the major systems in the house, HVAC, plumbing, electric? Is the house straight? You know, are there any big settling problems? Any water leaks, any mold inside, how long has it been vacant, and that's all in that talking to sellers in step four, a lot of the questions that we like to ask. So, yeah, it is perfectly okay to end that first call with, hey, that's what I needed. Let me do a little more due diligence and run some numbers. Can I get back with you tomorrow at 3:00? Talk this thing through.
Okay.
And that buys you a little time. And then that's where you go into, you'll get really fast at this, but then you go into deal eval mode, and you're always welcome to send that in. You know, you evaluate it first and then send it into the coaching center and say, this is what I think. This is the direction I think I should go. This is the offer I think I should make. And then that way we can see it on this end and chime in and say either yes or what about, or, we'd probably offer this. And then you're prepped for that next phone call. So,
okay.
Yeah, don't think, take the pressure off that first call. Number one, you're trying to identify motivation.
In your conversation
yeah.
with, if I give you a cash offer today, what would you take for it? And then to see. I've had conversations where they take far less than I would be willing to offer. So,
yeah, that's a great question.
And I just learned that this morning, Mike, of a lot of these people are a lot less intelligent than I am. Which that puts them really far down that list. And so just seeing the price is the only value we have. So if you don't
right.
want to give it away, you don't have to give it away. You say, let me get with my boss and I'll see what the most competitive offer I can give you is.
Right.
Your boss might be Mike.
Yeah, blame
I like
somebody
it.
Else. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, you'll get your script dialed. Use the one that we teach in there, Rob's, that he's used for a long time. But then, you make it your own and – you'll figure out a couple different close lines that you like, ways to ask for the deal. It looks like based on the numbers, we could make an all-cash offer today of $35,000. Does that number work for you? Different ways to phrase it. So, and I like that one from Brian, right? If I could offer all cash and get this problem solved for you today, what would you take? So... all the above. Ask for the sale. That matters. Close it. Close that deal.
This is Paul. If we're done with
yeah.
this, can I ask another question? I don't want to cut you off, though.
Yeah, you're fine, Paul.
Going back to the VA, as we're on here, I'm going back to my Upwork and researching one of these people that I mentioned was $8 an hour. And
yep.
And she's saying a few things here. I know skip tracing work very well. I'm a virtual assistant and working with real estate companies in the USA. I do skip trace almost every day. I know everything about this, blah, blah, blah.
Cool.
I'm looking back, and I'm reading her first conversation with me, and she said she's willing to do 250 addresses for $120, flat fee. I don't know how long it takes these people hourly to do these things. Does that strike you as a good deal?
That seems high. 250. Hang on, I have to do some quick math.
It seems way high.
Yeah, it's been 10 to 20 an hour. So let's see. What'd she say? 120 bucks or 100 and a quarter?
It was, I think it was 120 for 250 addresses. And I could probably, knock her down to 80 to 100.
So $120 divided by $8 an hour is 15 hours. 250 leads divided by 15 hours is 16.7 per hour. That's why to get the calculator out. That seems pretty reasonable. Anybody else care to agree or disagree?
I did. Mine did 48 in 2 hours.
Bam. So 24 an hour.
24. That's a bit better. But how many?
And they were pretty. And they were pretty accurate.
Oh, okay.
And you got some decent feedback, or
yeah,
some decent numbers. Yeah, yeah, Paul, maybe a little on the high side, but it sounds like she has a lot of experience with this too. So.
Yeah, and I could probably knock her down. And Tom, is that your voice I recognize?
It is, buddy.
Look at you.
You know, you got more of a Boston accent on the phone.
Paul from Gadsden.
Yeah, from Gadsden. Good
he does.
So maybe maybe you can share that Skip Tracy with me later separately if I'm having trouble with my lady here.
She only has a couple hours a day to work.
Okay, I got you.
But
I'll maybe go with this lady and get back to you guys.
Paul, I think that seems a little high. Maybe go back with $9,500 bucks for the same output and see what happens.
I've had good luck just saying what the market, what other people at Upwork have been getting. And they'll usually go down a bit.
Okay. And for what it's worth, she says she uses two Skip Trace platforms, locateplus.com and benverified.com.
Yeah, I've heard of Ben Verified. Gary, do you know anything about Locate Plus?
No, I don't, but I've used Ben Verified.
How is it? Good?
It's pretty good. Intellius is a little better.
Okay. Yeah, Paul, doesn't sound bad. Tell you what, give her a stack of leads so you can get on the phone, and then let's plug in a plan B or C as you go.
Yep.
So.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, good stuff, everyone. Gary, you want to just throw – Mike, are you done with your update and questions before I jump to Gary? Mike,
yeah,
Page,
I am, thanks.
Let me ask you this. How many do you have Skip Trace, and how many calls have you guys made at this point? Any calls yet?
No calls yet, no. We're probably around 90 that are Skip Trace. I did kind of go through and look at them. I just kind of had a question about what I'm supposed to talk to them about when I get on the phone with them. And then a couple of the numbers, I just kind of Googled them just to see what it would pull up. And one of them was actually an attorney's office. So
perfect.
I don't know what the deal is there.
Yeah, that's funny. Hard to say. Yeah, so get through some of the training in step four. It's a very simple script. And then we'll be expecting some phone calls on Monday. Does that sound like a plan?
Yep, sounds like a plan.
Love it. Perfect. All right, Gary.
I have a house under contract in Jacksonville.
Nice. Tell us about it.
It's a four-bedroom, two-bath, built in 1910. 1980 square feet.
Yep.
It's according to FreedomSoft, it says I need $25,000 worth of repairs.
Okay.
I'm paying, I offered them $9,000 for the home. They took it. With closing, with everything, it'll look like with, private money, I'll make a profit of 24 grand on the house.
What are you going to do to it? You're going to fix it up and sell it?
Well, that's the point. I'll go through the process of whether I fix it up and sell it or wholesale it.
Okay.
Because I have a contractor there tomorrow to do eyes on.
Yep.
And tell me, how close the 25,000 is.
Yep.
And then make a decision. If I flip it, I can make estimated profit of 22 grand. ARV is 70. So I can decide, do I want to flip it? Do I wholesale it? What do I want to, what direction do I want for my exit strategy?
Perfect. What time's the GCC in it tomorrow?
He's going in at 9 o'clock Florida time.
Okay.
Which is 3 a.m. for me.
Right. So you'll wake up about 3:30 and talk to him about it?
Yeah, right.
Nice. cool.
We've got time.
That's great.
We've got 21 days to do what we want to do.
What's your closing day? About 30 days out?
21 days.
21 days. Perfect.
And I could actually close sooner if I wanted, you know, but we'll go through the process so I can make the right decision.
You got it. Yeah, that's a little $3,000 to $5,000 check probably if you don't. That actually, maybe even a little more on a rental, because a rental grade, if it's a little under 2,000 square feet and it only needs $25,000, it's in decent shape, I would guess. Does that sound about right?
Yes. That's what I'm told. But
so 10 to 15-ish on a rental, you mark that thing up maybe 6 to 8, put 15 in. What do you think it rents for? What is it, a 4.2?
You
said 4.2.
Realtor said we could get from 15 to 1700 a month.
Holy smokes. So check this deal out, everybody. Watch this really quick. I'll show you how to run a quick little rental estimate to see where it comes in. So take gross rents times 70%. So you said 15 to 17 or 15 to 16?
15 to 17, but I figured it based on 15, Mike.
Yeah, let's go conservative. So $1,500 a month gross rent times 0.7, 70%, $1,050 net rent. Pull out 30% for vacancy, repairs, property management, that kind of stuff. Then Gary's got this deal for $9,000. Let's say he marks it up $6,000 to $15,000. So I'm his buyer, $15,000 for the house. He tells me it needs 25, but that's not a rental grade fix up. Call it another, even a worst case scenario, it needs 20, right? So add $20,000. So I'm going to buy it and fix it up. That's 35,000 divided by 1,050 net rents, 33 months divided by 12, money back in 2.7 years.
Wow.
That
I'll buy it right
is
now.
A smoking rental if those numbers are accurate. So Gary, what that means is you can mark it up more than six. Right.
Yes, I agree. I ran the same analysis.
Right.
So
Brian, you just heard Brian say he'll take it for that right now. Or
I'll take 10 of them.
That was there.
I'll take 10 more just like it. No joke. Yeah. Gary, nice find.
How did
you make the offer? Did you offer 9 or did they say they'd take 9?
No, I made the offer at 9 and they took it.
That's awesome. That sucker's got options.
I found out that house has been vacant for 2 years, so I don't know
I mean,
if there's
Gary,
a family issue or what.
You either buy this or pull down a little short-term private money. I mean, you won't need it more than a couple years. You buy this sucker for 9. Here's what you ought to do. If you buy it, you got to pay yourself up front the fee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, this is a little not really complicated, but Rob has always operated out of at least two entities. One is the acquisitions company, and then the other one is either a flip company, a hold company, whatever. Wholesale the deal to yourself, assign the deal to yourself, double close the deal to yourself, and still pay because your acquisitions company still needs to get paid for finding the deal. So Gary could have his acquisitions company tie this thing up for 9. He could assign it to a second entity. That assignment fee, whatever it was, 5, 9, 10, whatever he wants to make, would fall out at closing into his pocket when he left closing. His second company would then own it. And with these kind of numbers, Gary, that could be your paid off rental inside of 24 months.
Oh, sure.
So you've got options here. I know that. I'm just explaining it for everybody's benefit here.
Oh, no. It's great because that's why. You know, I could pay the cash for the house, and then I can still go through the process of what I want, you know, and decision-wise what I want, because, you know, I'll still check the data that the realtor's given me.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, there's some more due diligence to be done here, but sweet find.
This one, the way it's going to work out, there's time to do the due diligence correctly. And,
right. Yeah, 21-day inspection, right?
Yep.
Well played. Hey, everybody, this is why we teach Be Wholesaler, because Gary's in the driver's seat. Because Gary is wholesaler, Gary has the contract, Gary's in control of what happens with this deal. This is what, no matter what Rob does in real estate, he's always wholesaler. Why? Because he gets to control the deal. Like you're going to get to the place where you have four or five deals tied up, and you say, all five of these are good, three of these are ridiculous good. So here's what I'm going to do, and because I'm wholesaler and because I'm in control of all five, I get to decide. I'm going to take three for me, I'm going to wholesale the other two. Hey, somebody's in a getting attacked by an alien or something. Hit star six if you got some noise going on. Crazy noises coming out. Anyway, that's why this is why we're wholesaler, because there are 1,000 other investors that want this deal, but Gary's in the driver's seat because he found it, because he knows how to generate leads, knew how to have a conversation. This is exactly where we want to sit, and that's why we go through the process we're going through. So, any others, Gary? That's a killer deal.
Nothing solid, but I'm working on another deal in a little town south of Jacksonville.
Perfect.
We're just negotiating, so nothing cool. Under contract, just that one.
Cool. How are your guys working out that are making the calls for you? Are they doing good?
Average.
Yeah, that hasn't improved at all. What are you?
No, it hasn't.
What are you doing there? Sticking with them, or are you going to find somebody else?
I'm going to stick with them, but I'm going to find somebody else also.
Okay.
So they're just every time, you know, can I help you? And you know, let's meet. What can I do for you? You know, it's always excuses. So it's just like, okay, I'll move on.
Yep. Sounds good.
So
that sounds good.
Yep.
Great update. Great. Nice find. Way to offer $9,000. That was killer. That's just, let us know. I mean, obviously Monday we'll hear what the GC thought and we'll get another update from you, but
yep.
Good stuff. Who else?
Yep.
I know Adam's on, Ron's on. Yeah.
Mike, this is Brian.
Yeah.
I gave you a little bit of insight. We started calling today at 8.
Yep.
We screwed around and got more coffee and got all ready. By 8:30, we're on the phone. Started running into our leads in Louisville. I think both Aaron and I probably talked about four individuals. On the fifth person we talked to, she had inherited the house from her mom. Tried to get a renter in there and couldn't. Owes $60,000. It's in a nice area of Louisville.
Yeah.
We think it's worth about $120,000. I can only talk to her for a little bit, but we got a verbal commitment that she wants to sell. I told her that I'd get back to her on a price. I'm talking to her tonight at 6. Hopefully we can lock that up, send her the contract via DocuSign, and I already have a realtor in the area kind of confirming our comp on it, and then he's going to drive over there in the morning and just kind of do a window peek, try to get us an idea of the condition, but ideally, I just want to get locked up. When she said she owes $60,000, she hasn't made a payment in 5 months or 4 months.
Okay.
So I think, you know, given my experience with this, I bet the bank owes a little bit. So I'm going to give a little bit of room. I think she's put some money in her pocket at 64. See if we can lock it up there. I've got two pocket buyers I'm going to send it to first. If they don't do it, we're going to run around tomorrow, get our buyer list going, and just get this out, get it under contract on the other end. So.
Perfect. What's ARV?
ARV, I think, is about 120 to 130. Their comps as high as 150, but they got a little bit more square footage. But
what kind
of
shape is it?
It's the ideal location.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't know. She thinks it's in decent condition, but I'll try to get a little bit more information from her. She lives out of state. So that's a good thing and a bad thing. I'd rather have my guy go over there and confirm the condition. We're going to be around that 60 to 65K range regardless.
Yep.
So it really doesn't matter. We can't negotiate any further without kind of talking directly to the bank.
How big did you say it was? 15
it's
or
It's about
1,300
square? 1,100. It's a 3-2. It's 1,100 square feet. There's some other stuff that's going for a little bit more, but it's got about 200 square feet more.
Yeah, so, I mean, call it $25,000 and fix up.
Yeah, Freedom Soft put it at 60% ARV,
ARV offer 62,000, so it was like right on. So
yeah.
I figured we'll start there. See if we let's get it under contract first, and then determine what to do with it. So
nice. Five calls in after some coffee.
Hey, my one question is where we go to get our assignment, our contract with the seller, or
the purchase and sale agreements in step three.
Step three purchase and sale agreement.
There's one with a kick out and another one that's just a PSA. So
okay,
you can. That's the one that Rob uses. I mean, if you're going to a private seller, you know, we typically just go to the one pagers, the one or two pagers instead of the, you know, the 16 page state approved. So,
yeah, and that's what I'm going to make it real simple. Send both contracts to the title company. They can do assignments and they can do double closes.
Do you know a good title company in the area? Have you asked the locals?
I've talked to one already,
and
they said they're pretty comfortable with that. So, you know, rubber meet the road. Let's see how good they do.
Yep. Beautiful. Nice. What else? I know, and you've got your second market working too, right? You have leads coming in two different places now?
And that's where we're working right now. We've got probably 40 leads to get traced. We're going to get right back on the phone. Aaron, who's, I think, on the call, he's been doing all my op stuff, but he decided to jump on the call today. Has little to no sales experience, no real estate experience, and just following the script, talking to people. He was able to get a lot of information, even from people who were telling him to pound sand. So,
right.
I think that's the key. Get on the phone. You're going to learn your script and get going real fast once you get people on the phone. So that's where we're at. We're kind of got Pittsburgh on the back burners right now because we're seeing success in our Louisville market. So.
Yeah, so don't neglect it. Plenty of deals in both places. I know you know that. It is a sweet thing to get deals popping in multiple locations because that's what success teams are all about. How do you make the entire country your playground, right? And so you're in multiple. So, keep the foot on the gas in both locations to some extent. Because then that's where the true leverage builds. I mean, you say you want to do 4 a month, 6 a month, 10 a month. That's hard to do as the numbers get bigger from one market. So it starts to relieve the pressure when you get into multiple markets. So that's great.
Yeah,
stuff.
And Mike, we're just kind of talking to people, telling them what we're doing. I've already talked to two other investors who said, hey, when can you get dialed in my market? So, that's exactly
come to our backyard.
Everybody. Yeah, everybody else is kind of at our beck and call because we've got the deals, and a lot of people don't want to do this. So I've got local investors that are doing some markets and say, you find me deals, I'll buy them.
This is I'm going to talk a little bit more on this because somebody on here is going to miss it. The whole reason, right, you go to Rob and you say, how in the heck did you put a $10 million real estate fund together? And the short answer is he would say, because I was wholesaler. So when you're a wholesaler, not only do you control the deals like Gary and Brian are, right? You get to make the decisions, but you instantly have credibility because people are coming to you for good deals. You instantly have credibility. So some of you have heard Rob's story on this $10 million real estate fund, but you're thinking, how in the heck, where would you even start? He was going about his business as wholesaler. And a guy that Rob knew went to a barbecue in Denver. There was another guy at the barbecue that was a local operator of a $170 million commercial real estate fund out of the East Coast. They're at a backyard barbecue. They start yakking. And the guy who's the local operator, they said, what do you do? What do you do? Oh, I'm a local operator for a commercial real estate fund. He goes, but there's got to be some, we don't know that, we don't understand the residential space, but there's got to be an opportunity there, right? So then the guy that knows Rob says, yeah, absolutely there is. You got to talk to this Rob guy. That's how this came together. He wasn't necessarily seeking it. He got pulled into it and became the head operator of this whole thing. So what you hear Brian say is, hey, we're going about our business. Word just kind of spreads that, we're working multiple markets. We work Denver. We work Louisville. We work Pittsburgh. You do what? Yeah, we buy real estate all over the country. Oh, what do you do? Well, we find great deals. You know, the investor buyers in there, they come to us for their best deals. We know how to find them. We're a wholesaler. Oh, no kidding. When are you going to come to our market? I'm looking for good deals. Is that sinking in with everybody? I mean, this is you can't miss this. This is the whole point of the triangle we lay out on orientation call, day one of when you join the Success Teams program. The bottom of the triangle, generate leads, then generate buyers. What is that? That's wholesaling. Why do we build that? Why is that the foundation? Because it opens these other doors. Everybody following that? I'll take your silence as a yes. Good.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
It makes all the difference. And Brian is just, it's going to happen to all of you. You stick with it. You become wholesaler. You have credibility. You're the one that knows how to find the good deals. Everybody with money wants to know the person or the people in their market that know how to find the good deals because they don't know how to do it. They just have the money to buy them. They don't know how to find them. You all know how to find them.
Hey, Mike, this is Naif.
Naif, fire.
Yeah, quick question for you and Brian, I guess, because, you know, if he's in more than one market. Because right now what we did is we added another layer because we know we've been bottlenecked with the whole skip tracing part for some time now, and it's getting beyond frustrating. So we're willing to do anything and everything. So apart from skip tracing using two different tools and, you know, having one VA clear out the disconnected numbers, now I have, you know, another VA basically because I've been calling for every day. I have a full-time job as well. So, you know, 3-4 hours a day, I haven't been reaching out to many sellers, if any. And initially I did, and then since then I haven't been able to. So now I have, I hired two telemarketers just to make calls and just for introduction. It's like, hey, I'm calling from Stellar Home Buyers. We drove by your house. You know, we saw it. And basically, you know, just for an introduction, are you looking to sell the property? And if they say yes, no, it doesn't matter. I'm going to call them back regardless, just so that there is somebody I know on the other side of the phone. I'm wondering because a couple of times I heard in the phone that by the 10th call or by the 19th call that they're speaking to somebody. And today I heard that by the time they're on the 5th call, they're speaking to somebody. How are you guys generating quality phone numbers to make sure that you can reach
them? And when I say that, we actually, Aaron and I went through today because we're very big. We want to do it before we teach it. We went through on each one of our leads. Our VA is sending us 10 calls or 10 numbers. Each one of them, the one that I got the great lead on was the third number down. I called her, I texted her, and then I emailed her. She immediately texts me back and go, who is this person? And I said, well, I'm a buyer who's looking at your house, blah, blah, blah. I'd love to make you an offer. When can we talk? And so it's not as simple as, you know, the third call, the fifth call. Aaron and I, between the two of us, made 100 calls this morning. We only got to talk to 5 people. One of them was motivated, but we were able to rocket through those calls. Now, we're probably going to work on Call Fire. That's in Aaron's boat because he's a tech guy. So we're going to try to figure out a few things that can get us on the phone with more people. I honestly, because I think nobody's better than me than talking to motivated sellers because I've done it before. I know sales. I want to be there and I want to talk to these people. I want to overcome these objections and get an offer. If they're not going to give me an actual answer, I want to know why. And so think about it that way. And you got to, like, it's a little bit of both. You got to automate as well as possible. But at the same time, the only reason why we had success this morning is because we were actually on the phone. And I had a bunch of other stuff that probably shouldn't have taken priority. Took priority in my business. We finally got to a point where we could get on there and call. Aaron and I, what we do is set up hours that we know we can both be committed to making calls. And then we go just hammer it out and take care of it.
Yeah, because I've been making calls a lot. It's just that my biggest hurdle has been, you know, answering machines after answering machines. And you know, I haven't been able to talk to any sellers, but I spoke to maybe 7 sellers and squeezed out 3 contracts so far. So, you know, and I've been doing sales for a long time as well on the side, telemarketing and even wholesaling for the past 3-4 months before I even joined the course. So if I get a hold of a seller, I'm pretty confident I'm going to get at least a penny out of them somehow, or one way or another out of that lead. But,
yeah.
You know, the difficulty has been trying to get a hold of them. And so we're trying to put in, implement different strategies so that by the time I actually call or somebody calls, especially me, that I'm going to be speaking to somebody, or at least the number works, or that the owner or the heir on the other side is willing or have spoken to somebody. That's mainly the hurdle.
Is anyone else having the same problem, though? Are you the only one? Or that's what's kind of popping up in my head is, does anybody else have to put all these measures into place in order to get people on the phone, or is it just happening to you?
It's going to happen to everybody at some point. I think with Naif, if you've been tracking a little bit, they got some skip trace numbers back that weren't fantastic, so they've had to redo some. But at the end of the day, you guys, this is a numbers game. I mean, sometimes, you know, Naif, to speak to your point, I know you've been a little frustrated lately, but it can pop quick. And different people, Tom, he'll probably give an update here in a minute, but I talked to him yesterday, and he was pretty frustrated. And then he got on the phone last night and had a great conversation, and he's got a deal on the table. And so here's just a broad stroke comment for everybody, right? Frustration's a part of progress. I know you know that, but it sucks when you run into it. Some of you have had it in different areas. I mean, Brian now, who's on fire and in two markets, I mean, Brian, you know, if you were around on office hours, he was telling his story and he couldn't get a bird dog to do anything for like 3 weeks. And Brian's a sharp dude. I mean, you all know that because you've heard him talk and he knows real estate. But 3 weeks, he can't get a lead in the door. Or you had nine or something, right, Brian?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And then all of a sudden, in 72 hours, he threw a little bonus on the table, one or two, I don't know how many, it doesn't matter. Bird Dog said, I'll work for a little bonus. And then he had like 350 in the door. But he was legitimately frustrated. So, Naif, you've run into it. I talked to Tom yesterday. He was frustrated. It's a part of it. Expect it. If you're not there now, it's going to show up at some point. Just say, oh, yeah, this is what Mike was talking about on office hours. Great. I'm just going to stick to the process. Don't question it. We know it works, and just push through. So I know it, you know, the phone starts to get heavy and the dialing and your brain kicks in and says, does this even work? What the heck am I doing? This is
exactly.
A waste of time. Yada, yada, yada. And so we've all got similar brains, right? They start playing the same tricks and they make the same comments. So it'll happen. Because Naif, then what you just said, I'm assuming people caught it, but I've spoke to seven sellers and have three contracts. So
yeah.
It hasn't been all bad here. Now what you're doing is, you know, getting some systems in place, which all of you will eventually do, to have other people making the initial call, then they'll get a hold of you and say, this is the number, this is the person, call them at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's what we're all getting.
Yeah. That's the main thing is because I thought maybe, you know, initially we had a problem with finding good skip tracers. Then we bought the programs. We trained our skip tracers. Then we realized that, holy crap, there's a lot of disconnected numbers. Then we got another VA to make sure you get rid of all the disconnected numbers so that by the time I call, I'm actually speaking to somebody. Then the next hurdle was, what time do I call? Do I call in the afternoon? Do I call in the morning? Do I call in the evening? And we got that one dialed in a little bit now. And now I'm like, you know what, going through that many calls and voicemails, I might as well have a VA just be like, hey, what's up, you know? Are you looking to sell your home? Yes, no, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get on the phone anyway.
Right. Naif, check this out. What you just said, some of the frustrations you pushed through, you know more about generating good leads than 99% of the investors in this country. Do you realize that?
No, because I still don't have a check.
Listen, the inevitable, right, the result comes from the good activities. We can't always control result. What we can control is what we do. But what you all know, just from a very short period of time in this program, how to pick a great market, how to generate great leads in that market, how to research those leads, they can't even comprehend the stuff that you guys all of you have already put together. They don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So look,
and I know your stuff
works.
It's not like you guys are hiding anything.
You guys are type AAA. I want to check now. I mean, we can, you know, you hear it in your voice. It's how you're wired. That's perfect. So anything that gets in your way is like, dang it, I can see it. I want it. Give me the paycheck. It's inevitable. It's coming. But you know, don't miss the process. Don't miss the process. Right?
Right. Yep.
Understand what it actually is that you know how to do and that you have in place. Those are the hurdles that 99% of investors, they don't, first of all, they don't even know about. If they did, they wouldn't have no idea how to get over it, through it, or around it. And so you're just, yeah, it's a disadvantage what all of you have now. You're playing ball at a different level. So stick with
and,
it.
And, yeah, and when I called up a couple of, this is just a side note, like the only success thing I can tell to everybody, you know, when I called up a bunch of landlords and hard money lenders and et cetera, and a couple of people who very specifically do real estate, very specific niches in real estate, and they hear that, you know, they ask me, like, what kind of marketing are you doing? They're like, well, you know, we do, I don't actually tell them exactly. I'm like, you know, we do a lot of things. It's like bird dogs driving around, this and that, and I have in place a different system. They're like, we want to work with you because we don't know anyone who does that anymore.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like nobody does that anymore. Nobody drives around and sends people driving around. It's like, how do you manage all these things?
That's
so,
correct.
Yeah.
They can't even comprehend what you all now do very easily.
Right.
Hire a VA, a what? What's a VA? And you're just like, oh, I have three. Hire a bird dog? I wouldn't even know where to start. Oh, I had 20 email me this morning, right? Don't miss that stuff. These are the little steps that make all the difference. And so sometimes when you're in it, it's a little frustrating. I've made a bunch of calls. I get it. But don't miss what you all have access to, and that, you know, what is now quote unquote normal for you just puts you in a whole different league. Other investors can't even see it. So
I got a question about what you were stating. If you're getting some bad phone numbers from the VA and you got to go out and get new phone numbers.
Uh-huh.
Like how bad phone numbers, meaning like it's just the wrong number or
disconnected,
not enough
numbers? Wrong number, not related. So,
and then these
go ahead.
I have these VAs that are getting these numbers. There must be some source behind these numbers. You think it's just them mucking it up, or
no?
Or
skip tracing
is
it's not a perfect science. So, you know, what you want to do is if you've got a group, ideally, you're going to sort this group has good numbers from phone calls, and this group doesn't. This is why you know maybe have more than one VA or more than one service. If you've got a VA that has access to a different skip tracing tool and you want to run them through that
the
and see if you get anything else.
The tool itself, right?
Yep. Yeah, you'll get I said, it's not a perfect science, skip tracing. So yeah, if you've got a VA that has, you know, or Naif and his team, they have Intellius and maybe one other. So maybe they, you know, have a VA on standby that has LexisNexis and they say, hey, this is a group, you know, can you run these through Lexis for us and pay it and see if they get a different set of numbers. So, yep.
Gotcha. While I have the line here. So I wrote back to my VA in India here. She wrote back to me. I said, how about you do 53 leads for a flat fee of $20 to get started? She said, yeah, I can do that. Start on Monday, Sunday to Monday. A couple more questions.
Cool.
She said, well, sounds like I'll need a little bit more money because I told her I needed the heirs too. Little negotiation here.
Perfect.
I'm hoping that she does, you know, the first 53 names for $30 and I can see if she's worth her salt.
Absolutely.
And we get somewhere.
Yeah. And, hey guys, we've talked about this before, but I'll say it again if you didn't catch it. But if you have two or three VAs on the line and you want to test them out and see how they do, don't give them, you know, 20 different leads. Send them the same ones. Are you going to pay three times as much to get the same lead skip trace? Yes. But you're going to be able to compare results accurately, apples to apples. So if you're down to that, go, you know, give it to multiple people first. You know, Paul, it sounds like this is the only conversation you're having, which is fine. So negotiate, see how they do. But, you know, just throw that out there. It's okay to give the same 30 leads to three different VAs and say, show me what you can do for X amount. If it looks good, I've got, you know, 200 more for you.
That's what I did. Boy, what a difference I had.
Yeah, Tom, tell us about your experience, because you did exactly that, right?
Yeah, I had one, and, you know, I was trying to, I found a few here and there, but for the most part, I got nothing. I got a new one, and it was usually the first or second number. Boom, I got at least something where I could leave a message. And very often I've gotten live answers, but by going with that first one for a while, that was a waste of my time. By adding the second one, man, I'm on the way. So now at least I have one skip tracer. I'll do the same thing on another one as well. I'll do it to compare to this. I'll compare each one, whoever's better than the next one, that's who I'll go with.
Absolutely. That's the way to do it. That's how you hire a VA. You give the exact same task to multiple and see who handles it the best. Don't do an interview. Don't waste time on Skype talking to them. Give them a task for a set dollar amount. Pay a little more for it up front and save yourself the headache of hiring the wrong person or the wrong VA and then looking for somebody else down the road. That'll just waste time.
Hey, Mike,
I
like that idea. When I'm trying to implement that for Skip Tracer, how do I give them – I want to give them access to FreedomSoft, which I didn't really see any instructions in Step 3 to do that, but I could figure it out.
I've got a video coming on tomorrow, but here's the thing, Darren. If you're going to run a test with three VAs, don't give them access to FreedomSoft yet. Just send them a file – an Excel file, CSV, whatever, that they can all put the data on, then you can compare whoever you go with, say, hey, I'm going to log into my system and log that person in.
Gotcha. Do you have a video on how to dump the leads from FreedomSoft into this Excel file, or is that a manual process or what?
Yeah, you just select them all and click export. It's in the gray drop-down in the More button. If you click more in the gray toolbar, it'll say export. Click on it, you'll name it, and it'll export it to CSV file for you.
Got it. So I'm going to export the whole thing.
Well, or just send if you're going to hire thing. If you're going to hire three, just send them a chunk of like 30. If you're running a test, you don't need to give them each 300. That's too much money.
Got it.
Yep.
And what do I pay them roughly? I know you've said this already, but what do I pay them roughly for 30 skip trace leads?
Yeah, they can. That's probably a couple hours worth of work. So they're going to be, you know, most are getting 10 to 20 done an hour. It seems to be in that 15 to 20-ish range. So 30 is probably a couple hours. So you're going to say, I need 30 leads skip traced addresses. I'll pay a flat fee of, you know what, $7 an hour would be 14, so maybe $15,
$16. I got
it. Pay that to three people. One of them will probably rise above. You may have two. You'll get better data back. Then those are the one or two that you move forward with and plug into your FreedomSoft account.
Got it. Okay. I'll try to do that export myself, and then if I need help, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know. Tom. All right.
I got a
update.
Question, Mike. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Who's this?
John Moore.
Hey, John.
So I had some pretty bad news today. My deal got killed in Cleveland.
What killed it?
I had it set for closing next week, and they didn't pull it up on the title report, but I just searched online and found that there was $33,000 in back taxes.
And title didn't find it?
No, they said, oh, there's $2,700 due. So for some reason, I just checked it online, and it said there's $33,000 due. And it turns out she hasn't paid taxes since, like, 2012, 2013, and she just forgot to tell me that.
Unbelievable.
So I guess the lesson is I should have pulled an O&E right away.
You know, you got a week out prior to closing, and title hadn't found that?
No, well, I started late on title because I got drug out by the point of sale. So I guess the lesson is I need 30 days. And I talked to a HomeVestor guy who actually really helped me with this. He's like, you know, you need 30 days from the day of the point of sale coming in. Like, that's when your contract needs to start, not before. So everything got basically
we haven't typically done it that way, but usually once title's involved – I mean, when you have paperwork, everybody get it off the title for closing. When you have signed contract, get it to your closer. But yeah, John, that's a dang. And I'm curious because title. Well, I'm assuming it would have come up.
It probably would have eventually.
Yeah.
It probably would have eventually, but they just for starting off, they said, 2016 taxes is due.
I'm almost thinking it's a bummer that, you know, maybe you could have closed without it being found because the whole point of the title insurance portion is they guarantee free and clear title, which it wouldn't have been passed, which the way I understand it was on their shoulders to fix. So next time, stay off Google.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, plus I think I was wrong on the ARV too, because it's just there's so many pockets on the east side that it's just like if you pull a comp, you know, three blocks away, that might be a totally different area.
Yeah.
So I think there's just an extra learning curve. But I had
so kind of
I had a question.
Kind of
for
a good
you.
Thing? Were you going to buy a deal that wasn't worth what you originally thought? Was that the point of?
Well, I thought I was like, gosh, this is such a good deal. I might just close on it and then figure it out.
Yeah.
So that would have been real rough if I closed on it and had $30,000 in taxes.
Well, that's where That's where that lien, all liens have to be satisfied. And that's what I was saying. That's the title insurance portion. They guarantee that the research is correct. And that, so if you would have closed on that, because title companies make mistakes, that would have been on them to fix, the way I understand it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because they have to pass free and clear title onto the new owner at the transaction.
Gotcha.
So
okay, I didn't know that.
If they miss it, title companies miss it. They make mistakes, but that's why they then have insurance to cover mistakes, and everybody has insurance. But yeah, mistakes happen, but it's not on you.
Gotcha.
Free and clear title has to be passed to you at closing. So.
The other thing was I got a lead from a guy. He has access to another guy, basically. So he wants to co-wholesale a package of 8 REOs.
Okay.
And he said they're discounted at 30%. And they want a proof of funds before, at some point before closing. But I just wondered how you dealt with packages.
Rob typically buys them individual. Depends on the scenario, but his preference is one contract, one property.
Will that fly with a bank, though?
Depends. That's the thing, is it just depends on the scenario. They just bought a packet of 8. Rob just closed on them, I think, last week, or they're in the process of closing on them, and they're going one at a time. So it's a group, it's like a bulk price, but they broke it up into 8 different properies and just made.
So you can have separate closing, then you can wholesale them out one at a time.
Yep, that's his preference. That's not always the case. So somebody else has the deals and they want you to wholesale them?
They're the guy's from New York and he's the one that got the lead on the properties.
Okay.
And so he basically wants me to sell them. So basically I'm going to be doing all the work, and he just brought the deal.
Gotcha.
So he's not really doing anything. But.
And who's the current owner? It's a bank, you said?
Yeah. Apparently they're
ask REOs. Into it. Ask into it and say, my preference has always been one contract, one property. Is that what is that what you guys had in mind? And see what they're thinking.
Yeah, because I just, after this last experience, I'm really gun-shy on just closing on a bunch of properties and trying to figure it out as I go.
Yeah, so don't let it be gun-shy. This is a great, at the end of the day, experiences are good, whether they work or, a lot of times we learn more when they don't. So it was a great experience. Don't be gun-shy about it. But, yeah, make sure you guys have inspection period. You're not planning to buy all these, right? You're just planning to find an end buyer? For all 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you have inspection periods in place, all that good stuff. If they're going to, working with a bank can be a little bit trickier, so you're just going to have to, navigate that, keep us posted. We're happy to give input. Completely different game than working with a private seller. You heard Gary's got a 21-day inspection period. Can you negotiate that with a bank? Maybe. So yeah, just know what you're getting into, obviously, before you sign anything, and we'll be happy through the send an email in if you have questions or hey, here's how it's coming together. So Rob has obviously a lot of experience putting all this stuff together, so that's where you can lean on us.
Perfect. Thanks.
Yep. Yep. Anything else under contract, John, or it was that one?
No, it was just that one.
How many vacant leads do you have?
I got like 380 that I haven't called yet. So okay. I got a massive amount to – so I needed to be just hitting the phone. I got sidetracked, so I was trying to – so I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a great experience because what happens is you get a live one or you get two or you get three, and then they all of a sudden they eat up all your time. And then the activities that filled the pipeline start to get missed. And so this is, you know, this is good for you to go through because the challenge is really, you know, to either you have to carve out time to keep filling the pipeline or eventually you'll have, you know, somebody on the phone that keeps, you know, keeps filling it for you so that, you know, to avoid the kind of the high-low lifestyle that most investors live. So, yeah, man, these are great experiences. This stuff will serve you for the rest of your career. So don't get gun-shy. It's part of the game. You know, title things pop up, fairly rare, but that's part of it. That's how it works.
Yeah, I definitely feel like this is a dip, you know, where you get some initial success and then you get, you know, this is like normally where people quit. So
it is.
Obviously.
But nobody here is a quitter, so yep. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Tom, you still with us?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Let's talk this deal through.
Okay. Hang on, let me get up. So I have a deal that I got after I used my new skip tracer, and the other one, I couldn't find this person at all. This was the second number she had, so boom, there we go. Called a guy, and he has a house in a reasonable neighborhood, not great, that he wants to sell, and he immediately said $40,000 for it. I'm doing comps, and I'm having a little bit of a hard time figuring out the comps on it. It's all over the place. A lot of the I'm trying to find where I'm at here. A lot of the stuff that I have is...
What's ballpark, do you think, at this point?
80.
And okay.
But it could be far higher.
Right.
So
80 is the conservative side?
Very conservative.
Okay. So 40, you know, half price, that seems to be playing ball. What do you think fix-up is? How big
is
the...
Well, I don't know. This guy has a very thick Vietnamese accent, and and he's saying, it sounds like it's a multifamily. It sounds like it's a triplex, kind of, but I can't determine. I have to call him again because at the time I didn't realize it was that. It only sounds like there's one kitchen. But there's three bedrooms and three baths, although it's pretty good size. It's 2,200 square feet.
Yeah.
Another place says it's four bedrooms.
Okay.
It sounds like there's enough. But what he did was he tore out all the walls or tore out all the drywall, and a lot of the studs are there, and the kitchen's gone. He tore the entire kitchen out.
Okay.
Do
you know how electrical and plumbing it are?
It sounds like the electrical's okay.
Okay.
Sounds like the plumbing's okay. HVAC he hasn't tried, although he says it's newer. He replaced the roof, so that's brand new.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, and he says it's, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 to fix up. It's like, yeah, dream on.
2,200 square feet without drywall. That sounds, but that's normal when talking to sellers. They're going to underestimate.
Yeah. Well, I mean. You know, it sounds like not all the drywall, but some of it around the bedrooms and whatever. But it sounds like it could be converted back into a single-family house, but I'm not sure. I don't know if there's another – you know, how could it be a triplex with only one kitchen?
Not
more questions to ask him. Nonetheless, I ran some numbers on both of those.
Uh-huh.
And as a rental, it's a pretty strong deal.
Sounds like it could be either.
Could be either. As a fix and flip, it's a much tighter. I actually didn't run them.
Yeah, if your ARV is 80 and we've got some missing drywall, 25 doesn't seem out of the question. That gets a little tight, but you think 80 could be conservative. I mean, this is a good sized place, 2,200 square feet, three or four bed, three bath. That sounds like a desirable property. You said the neighborhood's decent?
It's decent minus.
Okay. That's fine.
you know, it's not a combat zone, but it's not far from a combat zone from what it sounds like.
Well, if it's selling north of $80,000, it's not, I mean, combat zone goes, you know, typically not, they don't have pricing up around $100,000. It's possible, but that's where you see the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 deals, typically, not always.
Right.
But, yeah, so this one seems to have a little legs. What's the motivation to sell?
Okay, so he bought it for his in-laws or his parents or one of the two.
Yep.
And he bought it for $8,000, 2013, and decided that, or his parents decided they didn't want to live there. And so he ripped everything out and started getting going on it, and all of a sudden they said they don't want to live there for whatever reason we didn't get into. And now he's been sitting on it, meaning to fix it, but he works 7 days a week, and it's just not getting done. But when I asked him, do you want to sell it, he didn't hesitate. It was like, yes. I mean, it was like,
just ready to be done.
So
I bet you can get it for less than 40, too.
I think so, because that's what he threw out right then. You know, that was his first.
But he also played the card of, hey, I paid $8 for it back in the day. So
no, he didn't say that.
Oh, you just looked it up?
I looked it up, yeah.
Nice.
I just like to know what I'm dealing with. Because, I mean, you know, that other guy I was telling you about, that other deal, he bought it for $2,500 and he wants $50 for it. And he realizes that it's still worth what it is. And, you know, everybody's giving him hassle because they know it. They only spent, you know, $2,500 for it, but he doesn't want to deal with that. But this guy, I think he's pretty motivated.
What do you see as the next step?
Well, the next step is to call him again and get more info so that I can tweak around to get a better idea of what the repairs really are and what the possibilities are. If there's two kitchens or whatever, then I can come to a buyer and say, hey, you know, you can do a lot of things with this. You can turn it into a one-bedroom. You can keep it as a duplex. You can make it as a triplex, or that's what it's zoned as or whatever. Got all kinds of things. So when I talk to a buyer, I can give them all kinds of scenarios, and I get a better idea. Plus, I can put in better numbers for the repair so that I can get
You want to see this thing. Quick little video, somebody walking through would be best.
Right.
A bunch
and that's
of
the
pictures
next thing
would
I have.
Be second best. Either he gets it to you or give somebody access.
Well, he was like, come on over and see it. I mean, he said that two or three times, so he's pretty eager, I think. He says, come on over and see it, and we can talk. Come over and see it. And so I said, dude, you know, I'm in Denver, but I'll get one of my guys over there. And he says, come on tomorrow. And it's like, okay, right, got it. So I have a bird dog that I haven't actually used yet, but he says, yeah, I can go there and take photos and stuff like that. And I didn't say a price because I was going to say, you know, $25. He says he'll do it for $10. So I'm glad I didn't mention a price. I asked him what
I was just
going to
say, Rob typically pays $25 or $35 for their agent to do it.
Right. And I didn't. I said, well, how much would you charge for something like that? Oh, $10. Oh, cool. Okay.
Perfect.
So it's better to ask what they'll take instead of give them a price because you might get a better price than you think.
Yeah. So get this set up. Obviously.
Yeah. I'm gonna call him tonight and ask him again, get a little bit more information on what he thinks, and then go get some photos, and then we can start. You know, I can start plugging in the numbers. But I think that the numbers are, from what I've come with, are pretty amazing as it is. And I've been super conservative with everything. I mean, I'm coming in.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm coming in as somebody who's coming in, they have to put down 10% on a first loan to buy it and 10% on a second loan to rehab it and then rent it. What are the numbers? They're still good.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
like,
this thing has legs. Have that bird dog shoot a video, and you want to tell them to do a walk up, walk through, walk around. Start at the curb. And then when they're shooting video, tell them to hold their phone sideways because they're going to forget and hold it vertical.
Right.
And
go super and pan super slowly.
They can pan pretty slow. Yep. Or right, they're gonna move a little quick, but say if there's anything that you think I would like to see that looks like a problem, maybe a highlight, tell them to pause on it for 2 seconds and just hold the phone still. and work their way through that thing in about 5 minutes. Walk up, walk through, walk around.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, good stuff.
Yeah. I think, this one's looking good. I'm pretty psyched about it.
Cool.
As soon as I got a different skip tracer, I was super frustrated the other day, and all of a sudden I was like, the skip tracer, I went back and did everything from the beginning again and started calling houses from the beginning again. And this house would have been lost if I hadn't gotten a second skip tracer.
Nice. Way to go.
So.
Yeah, good update. Cool. Who else? Questions and updates?
Rob, this is Esther.
Mike, but you can call me whatever you want, Esther. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've got like 140 leads.
I love it.
And once they got assigned the email in FreedomSoft, they're coming in really pretty good. But initially they were coming into my email because they couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't figure out how to get into FreedomSoft. But now I need to transfer those from my Gmail to FreedomSoft, and it's not happening.
You're going to have to forward them to that unique email address.
I am. I'm forwarding, but it's not. They're not going in.
Can't be. Are you copying and pasting the email? Something's off.
Yeah.
Because I know it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you?
I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
Yeah, but I've tried it with both of my bird dogs, and neither one is happening. I thought at one time that maybe it was because the one bird dog, she put them all in one email, and so I thought, maybe I just have to do each one manually. But the other bird dog that sent them in individually, I've done his too, and they're still not going into FreedomSoft.
It's got to be a disconnect with the email address. I mean, they're funky. Send me which campaign, and I'll send a test email into it. Send it to the into the coaching email, and I'll test it.
Okay.
Just tell me which campaign you're trying to forward the emails into. Do you have a skip tracer yet, Esther?
Nope, but I'm going to be working on that one tomorrow.
Perfect. Yeah, you've got some. That's your priority. Keep those leads coming in. But you've got 140 that you need data on ASAP, and I know you know that. I'm just reiterating.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, shoot me an email in the coaching center.
Okay. Very
All right,
good.
We'll get it figured
Thank
out.
Thank you.
Yep.
You bet.
Who else? Somebody said my name a while ago, and I don't know who it was. Who's this?
Oh, it's Darren again. I just have a quick question about
something
we're working on right now. So I posted the ad to Upwork to get my skip tracer hired.
Yep.
And I posted it 24 hours ago, and I haven't received any responses at all. So something's not good. But I put I did exactly what you said in the video. I'm offering I was offering $12, but I didn't tell them how many I wanted skip trace. So maybe the low dollar amount might be. Is that what's putting people off, or what?
Yeah, update that and say I just need a little sample skip trace.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, make some adjustments to it. I mean that's what your gut said. You told me the problem, and you said I think this might be the solution.
Yeah.
So make that switch.
Got it. Thanks, Mike.
Somebody's driving in or next to a very large truck.
Oh.
That sounded impressive. On the phone here. Yeah, who else? Great updates today, as always. A lot of stuff happening.
Mike, I have one more question. This is Aaron Rose.
Yeah.
So when we're identifying the zip codes for our bird dogs and we're looking for the best way to share, I know it was through Zillow. You know, do we just screenshot that and just send them the picture of that?
Look, just research the zip code through Zillow or Google. It'll show you exactly the streets.
Oh, many Google
Yeah,
do that
just
too.
Screenshot it. Yeah, either or. Zillow works fine. Google will do it. But, yeah, absolutely. Just screenshot it, email it over, and say, I want you to drive this area. Stay within these boundaries.
Okay.
Yep. You got it.
Thanks.
You got it. And then if you want, if you have a couple and you want to break the city up and give each one three or four you know, same thing, just screenshots and say, you know, drive these three.
And that brings up another, I just remembered another question I had, a little bit off topic, but when you've kind of come to, like when I searched that Zillow for that that zip code and you see all the houses that come up for sale, I mean, is that a good sign whenever you've got, you know, a bunch of houses for sale within that same zip code that are, you know, selling for much higher than that 100 grand range?
Yeah,
as well?
I mean, yeah, a bunch for sale. There's probably a bunch closed if you just have a bunch for sale. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
As well.
Yeah, just come in a little bit lower. I mean, here's how we made money during the last crash. We bought really cheap. We renovated. I mean, we wholesaled a lot of houses too, but a lot of them we bought ourselves. We had two full-time GCs running multiple crews. We fixed them up, and because we knew how to buy them, we bought them cheap. We overfixed them for the area, and we still priced them at or below market value. So the entire country is saying, oh, my gosh, you can't sell houses. You can't sell houses. It's total nonsense. Buy really cheap, fix up nice, and then price, and then be the best price in the neighborhood. You can sell it in 30 days, you know, 30 to 45 days all day long.
Right.
Somebody's buying. So the fact that you have a bunch sold in the neighborhood, this may be part of the story. I mean, maybe you get a deal tied up there and under contract, and you're selling it to a fix-and-flip investor. Say, look, here's the thing. There are a lot of houses for sale in this neighborhood. They're not moving. But here's the deal. At this price that I can sell it to you for, bam, fix it up for this, you know, price it below where everybody else is at. You can still make money on it. You'll be the best house in the neighborhood for the best price. That sells almost not right. There's no guarantee, but you want to play the percentages, be the nicest house in the neighborhood at the best price, and you will get eyeballs. So.
Fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, and figure out if you want, you know, this is where having an agent, a local agent on site is really handy. Say, hey, I'm curious about this zip code. I see a lot of houses for sale in there. How many have sold in the last 6 months in this zip code? And they can just plug into the MLS and find it real quick for you, run you a quick report. So it could be that
yeah,
there are
like
a lot listed
and a lot
sold, which means there's activity.
Yeah, a lot
there.
Listed, a lot sold, and kind of all wide variety of prices as well.
Yep.
So
the other thing you'd want to know in an area like that is what's average days on market? Because that'll give you an idea of, I mean, like days on market in Denver is incredibly low. Some of you live in similar
right.
markets. So that's a great indicator of level of demand, either per city, per county, by zip code. So that's where we lean on a local agent because they've got access to that MLS data and they can pull it really fast.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yep. Yeah, you're welcome. Who else? Anyone? All right. Great updates, everybody. I'll say it again. These are recorded. Log into the coaching center where the five steps are. They're on the left-hand side of the page. It says office hours. Click on that. Scroll to the bottom of the page. These recordings get uploaded. I usually get them up there the following day, so probably at some point tomorrow. Most recent call is at the top. And then we've got that weekly update form coming. It's going to be slick. Like I said, it'll help us to know exactly where you're at for feedback, and it'll also help you build the habit of tracking the stats in your business that make the biggest difference, KPIs, key performance indicators. So great stuff, everybody. I'll send out updates when that weekly update form is live. You'll see it here hopefully by tomorrow, may not be till early next week. That's based up to our tech crew to get that in place for us, but we're working on it. So good updates as always. Got a lot of stuff popping. Any questions, send them into the coaching center. And, yeah, thanks for jumping on. Have great afternoons or evenings wherever you're at, and we'll chat soon, okay?
Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
You. Thanks, Mike.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Mike.
Talk soon.
Bye.
Yep, see ya.